Well, we are in the eighth session on the Holy Scriptures. Today I want to talk to you about the certainty of the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scripture is the only sufficient, certain, and infallible rule of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience, our confession says. And we have studied the fact that even though God has put a witness for Himself in the creation, and we need to take notice of it, that's not sufficient for people to come to know Christ by itself. Obviously, it should point all men to the fact that God is a God of order and design. He is not a God who has just created things and let them go, but that He actually is a God who superintends His creation in minute detail. In fact, I think that if we were to consider just how much God is in the details of our life, that we would be encouraged believing in Him. When you stop to think about it, when a storm comes, is God in the details? Well, He certainly is. God is in the storm. And God can cause it to rain on one city, it says in the Scriptures, and not another. And so people from one city might go to another city, it says in the Scriptures, looking for water. Why? Because God just didn't choose to give it to them. And He has a purpose in it. But the Holy Scriptures are given to us so that we might have a certainty of knowledge and hope concerning what God does in and through them and what we should do in relation to them. That is to receive them, believe them, and live them out in our lives. In order for the church to be established and comforted by the Scriptures, it needs to be understood that by every Christian, that there is a certainty, I'm saying, to what God has had written down for our instruction. These things are written down for our instruction, upon whom has come the ends of the ages. We are in the church age, the last age before eternity. And Christ is going to come someday and bring this age to an end. We need to look forward to that. But in the meantime, you and I, for our brief span here upon the earth, and by the way, it is brief, we need to be faithful to God in relation to the Scriptures. There's a certainty to what God has written down for our instruction. And no true Christian should think that just because they cannot understand everything in the Scriptures, that God has not been clear in what He has given to us in them. We must therefore pray as we read the Scriptures, and we must ask God for wisdom and help in interpreting them correctly. I do think that this is the need of the hour. It's the need of our generation. We are standing on the truth that has been delivered to us in the Scriptures, but we're also standing on the truth that was recovered in the Reformation, which is why we are called Reformed Baptists. We are standing on the shoulders of many godly men who wrote things down in relation to the Scriptures, and so that we have understanding, a deepened understanding of the Scriptures. That's why we're here, brethren, in this church today, and why we're not in another church this morning, is because God, by His grace, has given us a deepened and deepening understanding of the Scriptures. And we boast in God. We don't see ourselves as just inherently more intelligent than other people around us. That's not the case. I hope that you understand that you can be very intelligent and not understand the Scriptures. That's right. You can be very intelligent and read the scriptures and not really understand them correctly. That's the importance of what we're doing here in this place this morning when we talk about the scriptures. I tried to show you last Sunday that God has given us the scriptures so that we might be established and that we might be comforted by them day by day. Honestly, I asked you last Sunday, are you being comforted by the scriptures? You should be, and you must needs be comforted by them if your faith is to be strong, if you're going to be effective in His service, if you're going to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. You need comfort and encouragement of the scriptures so that you might have hope day by day, and that you won't be discouraged when you don't see things going the way that you want them to go, or that even the way you expected them to go in your life. Why is that? Well, it's that way because we have a lot to learn from God. Do you believe that, dear Christians? We have a lot to learn. And it's not just doctrinal, but it's doctrinal and practical together. That God wants us to grow up into Christ and be mature as Christians. So God has made His will, I'm saying, certain in the Scriptures. And He expects you to apply your heart to them. Why? Because it is a pleasant thing. It is a pleasant thing for you to do so, to apply your heart to understand the Scriptures. I want you to turn with me this morning over to Proverbs chapter 22. And I want to have us look at verses 17 to 21. Who would like to read this section of Scripture for us? Proverbs 22, 17 to 21. David, go for it.
Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to your excellent things of counsel and knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say 21?
Keep going, yeah.
One more. That I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send them to you.
Amen. Thanks for that, David. Now we have here an exhortation that says to bow down our ear. To bow down our ear. That's how it reads in the incline your ear in the New King James. In the King James, bow your ear. In the I think maybe New American Standard, is it bow down?
It's inclined.
It's inclined, okay. But the word means to bow. And what do you think that means there in relation to the Scriptures? Well, it means incline, like it says in the other translation. But what would the meaning be when, if a translation is saying, bow down your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge? What does that word bow mean in relation to what we're studying here today? Very good. Have to do with submit. Whoa, that's good. Turn your ear in the direction of the one speaking so that you might hear what they're saying. Wow, that's really, that's very good.
Humble, respectful, submissive, and receptive.
Humble, respective, submissive, and what was the other one? Receptive?
Receptive.
Waiting to receive. Excellent. Excellent. That's what it is. It really is to reverence God in relation to what He's given to you, right? Because He is holy and because He is so infinitely great and wise and understanding, that we do bow to Him in our heart. We do submit to Him. We do respect Him. We do reverence Him. in relation to the Word. Now, some people, I've heard, this is really a strange thing, I think I need to bring it up, but I have heard some people sometimes talk about bibliolatry. Have you ever heard somebody talk that way? In other words, that we have such a great reverence for the Bible that we end up worshiping the Bible instead of God. But see, that's not the purpose of what is being said in these words that I just read to you. It's not that we worship the Bible, it's that we worship the God of the Bible through the Bible, which has been given to us, which is the revelation of God, the written revelation of God to us. Do you see the difference? In other words, we're looking through the words to God, we're looking at the words, but we look in relation to them to God in the Scriptures, which is such an important thing, isn't it? Oh, we need to see that. It's really a wonderful thing to have the Scriptures, because it says here, it's a pleasant thing to keep them within you. A pleasant thing. Now, interact with me here again a little bit. When it says that it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you, let them be fixed upon your lips. In what way would it be pleasant to you? Can you tell me? There might be a number of answers you could give to me. Yeah, it's the comfort and encouragement. That it's something that is a delight to you. It's one of the major ways that you delight yourself in the Lord is in relation to His written word. Because why? Because you see Him in it. Because you see Him speaking to you in it. Right? Oh, that's so good. That's good. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. That reminds me of what I had said to you last Sunday from Joshua 1, 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night in order to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success spiritually. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. How do you become strong and courageous as a Christian? Well, you become strong and courageous when the Word is pleasant to you and you drink it in as milk and you eat it as meat and you taste of it as honey and you grow thereby, like it says in Hebrews chapter 5, right? This is really good. Have I not instructed you today? Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth? The certainty of the words of truth. Joseph Benson, the commentator, says, "Hear the words of the wise, of wise and holy men of God, and apply thy heart unto my knowledge, the knowledge of God and of thy several duties which I am here delivering to thee. Thirst after it, and give thyself up to the diligent study of it. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them, namely the words of the wise, within thee, Hebrew in thy belly, that is in thy heart. If thou receive them in love and retain them in thy memory, so as to have them ready for use upon all occasions, they shall be fitted in thy lips, or fitly expressed, or shall be disposed or ordered, as the Hebrew word signifies. The sense seems to be when you have got them into your heart, then you will be able and ready to discourse pertinently and profitably of them." Oh boy, is that good? Isn't that good? Let me ask this question. Do you discourse pertinently and profitably? to people around you about the things that you read in the Word? Why is it that you abide in the Scriptures, if not to have the Scriptures speak to you? So that then what? So that then your heart is spoken to and God has spoken to you through them, but also that you might then speak to others around you, even little portions of the Scriptures. You know, this is going to providentially happen with you, whether you realize it or not, that you're going to come into situations where you might be able to say just some little word for Christ. Some little word concerning the truth of the Word that you have been reading that day. And suddenly it comes up in front of you in the form of a person either that you know or maybe you've never met them before, but they're talking and they're saying something and you might have something to say that would help them to understand, dear brethren. And that's honestly the way that witnessing in its truest form takes place. It's not as though witnessing in a dozen different forms doesn't take place or shouldn't take place. But in personal evangelism, that's how it takes place. If you can say just one word for Christ, and that's enough. You've probably heard, and this is the power of the Word, by the way, and the power of the Spirit in connection with the Word. You've probably heard about Charles Spurgeon, and how one day he was in a great amphitheater getting ready to speak to thousands of people, and there was a janitor who was working in the back of this place, and Spurgeon was testing the acoustics, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that man heard that one word and was saved by it. Wow. Well, you know, I mean, God can do those kinds of things. We don't think of it that way, do we? We think of it being much more complex. We've got to give them 100 reasons why they should believe in the gospel, when it may only be one little word that you speak that may speak to them. Isn't that good? I think we need to see the power of God in the Word. We need to see the depth and the riches of the Word. We need to see God in the details of our life and in the Word in relation to our life, so that when we abide in it, we begin to see it as pleasant to our soul, that we are comforted by it. Oh boy, this is just incredible. He says, Joseph Benson says in verses 19 to 21, that thy trust may be in the Lord, that knowing God and His Word and promises, you may cheerfully and confidently trust in Him, which is the only way to thy safety and happiness. I have made known to thee this day more fully than ever before, in this day of light and knowledge, in this thy day, the day of thy merciful visitation, excellent things. I said excellent things in the Word of God, or as it can be understood, leading things, princely things, words fit for a prince to speak, says Bishop Patrick, and the best men of the world to hear, and therefore truly excellent. Oh, we should not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Many, he says, of the ancient versions, however, read threefold things, in which they are followed by Schultens and Grotius, the Jews distinguishing philosophy into three branches: morality, physics, and divinity. And Solomon, he says, having written in all those branches, as it appears from 1 Kings 4, although most of his writings are lost. Imagine that. But as the Hebrew word above quoted always signifies great captains, generals, nobles, or the best sort of musical instruments, he says, I look upon this, namely, that first given, says the bishop, the most proper interpretation of it in counsels and knowledge. Counsels to direct your practice and knowledge to inform your mind, that I may make you know the certainty, that I may teach you not false or vain or uncertain things like the teachers of heathen nations, but the true and infallible oracles of God, that thou mayest answer the words of truth, that being instructed by me, you may be able to give true, solid, and satisfactory answers to them that send unto you, namely for your advice in great and difficult matters, or to those that send you, that is, that employ you in any business of moment, that is, of concern at that moment, greatness at that moment, whereof they expect an account from you. From you. You know, we need to sanctify the Lord Christ in our hearts, that we always may be able to share with them the hope, as it says in 1 Peter, that lies within us. We need to be ready at a moment's notice to be able to share Christ with people, to be able to have a word in season to them. The words of truth, there is a certainty of the words of truth. What is it that gives us our confidence? Is it ourselves? Oh no. The confidence is in God and in His Word. The certainty of the words of truth. God's placed that certainty there. That's what I'm trying to convince you of, so that your confidence can be in Him when you share the truth with others. Godly men of old received these words by direct inspiration of God, by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we should understand that the Word of God does not change. The Word of God is just as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago when holy men of old received it. You and I need to believe that with all of our heart. The Scriptures are not relative. The Scriptures are not gray, shades of gray. They are black and white. They have perspicuity to them, as certain theologians have said. In other words, they have clarity. They have clarity. This is really good. And this is the reason why we should apply our heart to them. Because they're really so clear. Sometimes people don't understand them. And what is our job? Our job, by God's grace, according to the gift that God has given to us and the grace that God has given to us, is to help people and make them clear so that they can benefit from them in a winsome way, so that they are won to Christ. He who is wise wins souls, it says in the book of Proverbs. And oh, how good it is if we can study to see how we might make wisdom pleasant, not only to ourselves, but to other people as well. Not being offensive to them. There is an offense to the gospel, isn't there? But we don't need to be offensive with the gospel. There's a difference. He who is wise wins souls. In other words, makes an appeal to them. Says, come near to me. Paul stretched forth his hand, made an appeal to the Athenians based upon all their gods that they were worshiping. Then he told them about the true and living God. At a moment's notice, the Lord called upon him to do it, and it was effectual to those Athenian philosophers. Oh, they didn't all agree with him. See, the object in our sharing truth with people is not that all people are going to agree with us, or in our being winsome, that by itself will win them. Because it has to be the truth of the Word of God, accompanied by the power of the Spirit that wins them. That's why Spurgeon says, you just let the lion loose, talking about the Scriptures. You see, and then he will make that Word effective, effectual, powerful by the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul could say, you know, when I came to you, I didn't come to you in superiority of speech, he said, but I came to you humility and fear and trembling. Not having, you know, sometimes people can despise your person even, but you're trying so hard to tell them about Christ that something comes through to them. Why did it come through? Because somebody saw your weakness, but they saw Christ's strength. That's the difference. That's the difference. And we need to share the truth with many people, but what we need to understand is the pleasantness of what God has called us to do in receiving the Scriptures ourselves, being comforted, encouraged, established, and strengthened by them, and then helping others then on to understand that truth so they too can be saved and grow up into Christ. Well, let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks for this study and on the certainty of the Scriptures. Help us to receive it. Help us to benefit by it and to grow thereby the Word as it comes to our hearts today. May we receive all the truth that you would give to us and feed upon it, drink it in, and participate in this grace that you show to us. In Jesus' name, amen.